Good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we share Christ beyond the pulpit. While editing this video, I came across the notion that the video quality or the audio quality is not up to par. We'll do better for next time. But to recap, last episode, we learned about LOOP, which stands for Loved Ones of Prisoners. It's a nonprofit organization that helps families cope with a loved one in prison. Jenny Eversole is one of the directors for LOOP and will be joining us again to discuss faith and the prison system.
All right, so we just finished talking about, you know, maybe some of the fundraisers that LOOP have done in the past. I'm sure there's other ways that people can support the ministry. How could they support the ministry?
So on our website, you can just get in touch with me and you can mail a check or you could give online. We've got a bank account set up for you to do that. It is a 501c3 and it is tax deductible.
Awesome.
And it's just my phone number's on the, if you have any questions, my phone number's on the website.
Now, we're not going to share your number through the podcast, but what we will do is share your email address. It's jenny@lovedonesofprisoners.com. That's jenny@lovedonesofprisoners.com. I know this works because I've emailed you there before. So that's jenny@lovedonesofprisoners.com. She's the director for LOOP, and from my understanding, she's very responsive to those who call out to her for help.
Yes.
All right. So one thing I wanted to ask about a little bit also, too, hopefully I didn't cut you off, but one of the things that you mentioned was, or sort of hinted at, is with prison reform and reentry, are there conferences that sort of go into depth on this that you would recommend?
Well, right now, everything is on hold with the, and it has been since March.
Yeah.
So anything we do has been online.
Yeah. In fact, to interject real quickly, for those who may listen to this years upon years from now, we're going through a COVID-19 crisis. It's a flu situation that's a strain of the flu that's very deadly going on right now, and a lot of things are being done virtually. So who knows what life is going to be like in the next few years, but for now, there are a lot of things on hold. Please continue.
And so I was asked to join a committee. The name of the committee is Advocacy for Family Engagement.
Yeah.
And the director of the Ohio prisons had put together this committee, and there's about 25 of us.
Yeah.
And she's very much interested in engaging families.
Yeah.
And so we have that. We have that meeting online. So everything is online right now.
Yeah.
But we hope to, you know, hopefully by next year, get back into having the summits.
Right.
We had started out with fundraisers. But our church actually gives us a check every month now to sustain the mailing at least.
And the name of this church, let's give them a shout out.
It's Vineyard Community in Reynoldsburg, Ohio.
All right, got it. You know, the reason why I think it's important to mention this church, because, you know, it's great to see how a church is doing outreach to their local community. You know, I think that's awesome and that's amazing. And those are one of the things that really encourages me, you know, whenever I attend a church, and I've attended many churches, is their local outreach support, you know, and that's really important to me. But please continue. Name of the church again?
Vineyard Community.
Yeah, let's give them some extra credit.
In Reynoldsburg, Ohio.
All right, that's awesome.
Yes, so I thank them. And they also give us a meeting room where before March, we would have a meeting once a month.
Yeah.
Now we're having it online.
Yeah.
And we'll probably continue to have it online.
Yeah.
And it makes it more accessible. People don't have to drive so far.
Yeah.
In the winter, especially with the bad weather, we can still have it.
Yeah.
So that's been very helpful.
Right. So, let's see here. I have a couple of questions. I'm trying to figure out which order I should ask them in. But let's start with the first one. We're dealing with a situation where things are so virtual right now. This has to impact visitations now. to a prison, especially with this COVID-19 that's going out there. I could only imagine how vulnerable the prison population is to this pandemic that's going on. So because we're dealing with a lot of social distancing and all that stuff now, how has this impacted visitation and then, you know, maybe the psychology of these prisoners, or I'm sorry, incarcerated individuals who are, well, to see, maybe feel the love of their ones, you know, and stuff of that nature?
It's been very difficult, and we haven't been able to visit since March.
Oh, wow.
And my grandson.
So hold on. That means the visitation has just been shut down?
Shut down totally. Wow. And no volunteers, because MOOP has a table set up with flyers and information. And our goal, we were working on getting in all 29 prisons.
So you set up these tables where?
In the visiting room at the prison.
Got it.
So when the visitors come in, they have this information there.
Got it.
To get in touch with us.
Yes.
And so we had gotten into 6 prisons.
Yeah.
Before the shutdown.
Yeah.
So our goal is to get into all 29 prisons.
Oh, okay.
And as soon as it opens up, but they stopped all volunteers and all visiting because it did get the guards, correction officers, they like to be called, were bringing it in.
Oh, okay.
And we lost 79 prisoners in Ohio to the COVID.
Gosh.
Because there's nowhere, because the prisons are overcrowded.
Yeah.
It's very hard to quarantine them.
Absolutely.
So they have the infirmaries, but they only hold about 10.
Yeah.
So it was difficult, yeah, you know, but it's pretty much under control. And as a matter of fact, the director from Ohio got COVID.
Yeah.
And she made some changes.
Oh, yeah.
Just because she said this is so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And she made some direct changes.
Wow. So kind of going back to, you know, having a table with, you know, your information and so forth. You mentioned that you were in 6 out of 29 prisons. Are you finding resistance from the prison system to allow you to set up these tables?
Yeah, everything got stopped. It wasn't just us, but all volunteers. And we were considered volunteers.
Now, before COVID-19 sort of took over and changed the world, right, and changed how we operate, did you find that the prison systems were receptive to loot?
Mostly.
Okay, great. That's
and so, you know, and the ones that weren't, we just kind of kept on trying.
Yeah.
But everyone that we tried so far has been open.
Can you talk to some of the struggles in those isolated cases where you find
Well,
resistance?
They don't know, you know, they don't know about loop and it's somebody else to bring something else in.
Gotcha.
And they're dealing with, you know, visitors bringing in things they're not supposed to be bringing in.
The vetting process, I guess, is stringent.
And so we had,
and understandably.
Yes. And so we had to prove ourselves. And then, you know, now we can say we're in 6 prisons and we've been there for this long. And can we do this? So so it's getting easier.
Yes. All right. That's good. That's great. Now, I'm thinking about another scenario here. And I'm not sure how. Well, let me just spit it out. Let me just get it out there. One of the things about, you know, doing something wrong, and, you know, may have accepted the guilt, is possibly remorse, but also reconciliation as well, too. Hey, did something wrong. How can I make things right? That's biblical right there. Having a ministry of reconciliation, that's part of the Christian lifestyle. You know, you don't just accept Jesus Christ and just say, hey, I'm saved, and, you know, everything is necessarily forgotten. You know, you had tax collectors who gave their heart to Christ, and they decide to follow Christ, and they're just like, oh, I'm giving half my stuff to the poor. I'm paying back 4 times the amount, blah, 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 you know, stuff like that. So when somebody comes out, you know, and then they also expect, you know, accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. what would be your advice to them for reconciliation? You know, it's not always necessarily recommended to say get in touch with the victim or get in touch with the victim's family and so forth, but you know, is there hope for reconciliation when somebody re-enters society after paying their debt to society?
So right now, as it's interesting that you mentioned this, because there's a new program in the prisons.
Okay.
And it's victim awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's focused on that.
Yeah.
And you writing letters while you're still in.
Okay.
Of apology and it's supposed to be healing for both sides.
Sure, yeah.
So this program has just started. So I'm kind of interested. My grandson just got enrolled. So I'm kind of interested on how it's going to go.
Yeah. And then for the record, I've never spoken to your grandson before, but, you know, he sounds like a wonderful gentleman, you know, that has definitely been impacted by the message of Jesus Christ, as well as the family who loves Jesus Christ as well, too. So kudos to you guys on that one for, you know, really maintaining that bond. Yeah. And for our listeners, you know, that was, you know, that was just a question off the top of my head. You know, the Bible is so full of truth, and it's, I consider it the living word. Sometimes God will speak to my heart during the podcast. So thank you very much for answering that question. I appreciate
and
that.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear about that program as well, too. You know,
and we'll keep
informed
on how it's going. And
yeah.
And so somebody came up with a great idea, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's an excellent idea because, you know, something that I know for me, I could be easily guilty of is, hey, I harmed somebody. You know, I say my little prayer in the closet, you know, all right, God, can you please forgive me for this? And then, oh, out of sight, out of mind, you know, and, you know, I don't believe the Bible fully supports that. You know, if you have the power to do good, you know, you should go ahead and do good and don't withhold, you know, and that right there can get so difficult. And that's something that I've learned as I matured more. And honestly, that's probably one of the reasons why I haven't done as much evil in my past as I could have, because I'm just like, oh man, if I do this, I'm going to have to face this person. I'm going to have to apologize. And that right there is almost a deterrent enough for me, you know? So, but yeah, so, you know, this has been, you know, a very powerful podcast episode for me. I've learned a lot about the prison system in Ohio, even though I've been away from that ministry for quite a while. You know, I'm really glad that I was able to have this talk with you. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
Well, I think that it's interesting that, you know, you brought this up just when this is starting. And I think that they realize how freeing this can be for both parties. And how the healing can begin when this happens for both parties.
Yeah.
Because you have to forgive yourself before you can forgive anybody else.
Yeah.
And I believe this is going to be, I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, definitely. So, I'm going to segue just a little bit. In every podcast episode, I like to take the opportunity to ask a guest their personal story of salvation. And I'd like for you to share with me as well as the listeners. I don't think I've ever asked you that question specifically recently, let me put it that way. But yeah, could you share your personal testimony with us?
Well, in my 20s, and I'm now in my 70s.
Hey, congratulations.
So that was a few years ago. Yeah. We had a crisis in our marriage, and I turned to the Lord and said, you know, if you'll get me through this, I'll serve you the rest of my days. And I did, and he brought my husband home, and he got saved, and we've served God together for 54 years.
Oh, and he's also serving on as a director at Loop as well, too.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right. Awesome.
And it's very dear to his heart.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of in the background, but he's really not in the background.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's really very supportive, and yeah. I appreciate his support.
I can understand and appreciate a person who likes to work in the background. That's been me for a good portion of my life. So now all of a sudden you stick a microphone in front of me and say, hey, host a podcast. And it's like, all right, God, this can only be you. So cool. So so God helped you through your marriage and giving your life to Christ. You've been serving him for decades. You know, feel free to share some more.
Well, it just, you know, we've just, we adopted three children.
Oh, wow.
And we've just had an exciting life with the Lord.
Yeah.
And it was quite a experience when I walked across that parking lot of that prison for the first time.
Yeah.
And I was 65 years old and I said, Lord, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
And he says, you're going to find out.
Right.
So I'm finding out by being able to reach out and tell other people, you're not alone.
Yeah.
And God will see you through this somehow, some way.
Yeah. Amen to that.
If you just trust him.
Amen.
And it's a whole new dimension of trust. Because, you know, there's so much violence and corruption that you actually, you know, have to trust God that your loved one is going to be safe in prison.
Yeah, it brings new meaning to scripture where I think Paul talks about us dying daily to the God, for the sake of Christ. You know, I mean, you know, you have to be that deliberate about God's grace in our lives, you know, and I can only imagine how much stronger, you know, how much more of a test it could be in such a violent environment, you know. So definitely my prayers, well, honestly, I have prayed for Dustin already, you know, I will continue to pray for him as well too. Is there anything else you wanted to share as far as your personal testimony? Because honestly, I could jump in and just talk about maybe some of my inspirations for doing this podcast episode. And I'll just keep it short at this point in time. But I sort of hinted that I've done prison ministry in the past. I think it was back in 11th grade. I was in 10th grade. And there were a couple of 12th graders that were scheduled to fight. You know, you just figure, oh, it's just a regular little fight. Well, I found out later that day, one was murdered. He was stabbed in his heart, and he died immediately. And that was horrific, of course. The people, the two guys that enacted it, they were given, you know, I think they received about, 10 years. 10 to 15 years or something like that. So some people are just like 10 to 15 years, that's it. And then there are others who are like 10 to 15 years, that's too much. That sort of gets back into the sentencing guidelines. But what this also encouraged me to do was to sort of try and understand the prison system a little bit more. Just like, they're precious people as well too. But I was too young to get involved. But as soon as I turned 18, I had the opportunity to, you know, go there and, you know, they held like a little church service. I wasn't really an active participant, more of an attendee, but towards the end, I got a chance to talk with some of them. And the irony of it is, you know, I saw some of my old friends that were already in prison. You know, that was very sad to see as well too, but yeah, there was a wake-up call for me to, hey, it's not that hard to get in here, you know? When I went off into college, I was called again into sort of prison ministry. This was more of a correctional facility. So these were boys between the ages of 9 to 17. And for me, I took on a more active role. I became like a Bible study teacher, Bible mentor. You know, I'm not a theologian, but, you know, I had enough knowledge to be able to share with them. And I did that on and off for a couple of years, you know, and the most amazing moment for me was one kid. He was about 14, 15 years of age. According to his testimony, he already had two kids by two different girls. And, you know, it was a tough situation, you know, but he was a very quiet, very defensive boy. But after a few months of the Bible study, you know, he started opening up and sharing what he's been reading in the Bible, reading Proverbs and reading Psalms. And, you know, those are especially Proverbs. You know, I definitely recommended that to a young boy. So basically from there, my heart still went out to those who are dealing with, like, incarceration. And throughout the years, you know, I will admit that God has called me other places, but I'll never forget that experience and how it was not only me being a blessing for them, but how they've been a blessing to me as well, too. So I guess my leading question for you is, how has those who have been in prison or who are incarcerated or those who you correspond with, how have they been a blessing to you?
Well, I have a couple of girls that I went and did a Bible study with.
Yeah.
And they're out now.
Okay.
And I keep in contact with them.
Awesome.
And to see them doing so well, working and being productive, staying out of trouble, is just a blessing. And I think I had just a teeny little part of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when we get letters every week from people who say, you're the only male that we get. Thank you for the birthday card.
Yeah.
You know, numerous letters. And I have a stack that's probably 12 inches high that I've gotten and that we've gotten. And it just proves that, you know, God makes lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah. One question that I've had for you is, you have volunteers that write these letters, maybe write cards as well, too?
No letters.
Oh, I'm sorry. They
just the mailings. They do the mailings. Because if you think about doing a mailing, you have to have a return address.
Okay.
You have to have an address.
Yeah.
You have to have a stamp.
Yeah.
You have to put them in the envelope. You have to make 155 copies.
Got it. Okay. I'm glad you highlighted that.
Yes. And so this volunteer does that every month.
Yeah.
And it's been a blessing to me that I don't have to do it anymore.
Now, one of the things I did while in prison ministry was, you know, I tried to correspond with one of the inmates. You know, I was expecting the correspondence to be, you know, spiritual or whatever. But no, it was, let's see, how do I put this? Basically, they wanted me to introduce them to some of the church sisters.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And so, the thing is, I've heard a number of times about someone who may be incarcerated, but yet they somehow get married to, you know, some lady, you know.
I actually did a wedding.
Yeah.
In prison.
You know what? Please share.
Well, I got a call from a gal, and she says they told me at the prison that you do weddings. Because we, our church, the Vineyard community has actually ordained my husband and I as ministers.
So you've actually married people, both of them were incarcerated?
No, just one.
Okay.
Just one.
Yeah.
And
without revealing names, please share the story.
And so she called me and I said yes. And I said, well, I want to talk to both of you separately.
Yeah.
And why do you want to get married?
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, because he was a lifer.
Right.
And both of them were beautiful people.
Yeah.
And he had met her after he went to prison.
Right.
And I said to her, why do you want to get married? And she says, I just want him to know that I'm totally committed to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And so I got permission down the line. You know, there's a protocol that you have to go through. And I went in and did the wedding.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, I felt like the Lord said to do it because I prayed about it.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they want to be committed to each other, it's hope for him.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
And it gives her something. And I said, but he's a lifer. And she says, but we're hoping it won't be that.
Yeah.
So they're working towards.
Yeah, I mean, DNA evidence is being reintroduced all the time, or maybe some sort of loophole in the law or something like that, or maybe some evidence that wasn't entered. As we mentioned earlier, the legal system is not perfect. It's subjective in a lot of ways. You know, in many ways, it's relationship-based, you know. You know, it's best to stay away from the legal system at all costs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So that almost sounds like a great place to end right there. You know, stay away from the legal system at all costs, right? you know, and the best way to stay away from the legal system, you know, is to, you know, take on the fruits of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, patience, long-suffering, self-control. The list goes on. You know, I just wanted to, you know, just leave a word of encouragement to everybody. That if you are in a situation, you know, where incarceration is part of the family daily life right now, you know, I just want to let you know that there is hope. You know, met Jenny a few months or so ago, probably a year or so ago, and I got a chance to learn more and more about the ministry and just the impact that it's having. I definitely recommend this ministry and this nonprofit organization. If you have a loved one that's in prison, please reach out to lovedonesofprisoners.com. Do not be alone. Do not isolate yourself. Don't let the shame be a total burden. The Bible says, cast your burdens to the Lord. You know, and right now, I just want to let you know that if you reach out to lovedonesofprisoners.com, you'll find information for Jenny Eversole. She's the director for Loop. And she is not anxious, but she's definitely available to help you. And I totally recommend this nonprofit organization. Anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I want to say that, and if you have a loved one that you would like to get on our mailing list, it's open to anybody.
Okay.
So if you know somebody that has a loved one,
yeah,
that would enjoy getting mail every month,
yeah,
then just get in touch with me and we'll get you on the list.
Yes, and please act soon if you're listening to this podcast just as it is released. We're entering the holiday season, so just get on that list as soon as possible.
This wraps up another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we share Christ outside the pulpit. Every legal trial is a unique issue that challenges our court system. Sometimes they get it right, and other times they get it wrong, depending on who you ask. Please visit lovedonesofprisoners.com for helpful resources. That's lovedonesofprisoners.com for more helpful resources. Now for an introspect. Who can know the heart better than God? Who can execute judgment better than God? Most of us may be innocent in the eyes of the law, but are we really innocent under God's scrutiny? I think the answer is no. The Bible says that for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. That gift is Jesus Christ. He's the perfect defense counselor that none of us can afford. If you want to support this podcast, please rate and subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. Until next time, God bless.